Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Jason and John Show.
He's a Super Bowl champion. He's a former MVP. He's a Memphian. He is the great Joe Theismann, and he joins us now. Joe, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time.
Great, guys. Thank you. Is that the kind of sound we're going to hear at football games this year, dubbed in?
Absolutely. Well, in some places, right? School. Some places are going to have real fans, it sounds like. It's going to be a strange season, Joe.
It is. It's already a strange year we're into. I mean, it's amazing just what everybody's going through in this particular year. And, you know, football is the benefactor of watching baseball, hockey, and basketball, trying to figure out what to do, and hopefully we'll be able to have a full season.
Well, we need it for our psyche, our sports fan psyche. We need some NFL football. There's no question about it. Lot to get to today, Joe, but want to start with a remarkable comeback, a remarkable story, and that's Alex Smith. I mean, nearly lost his leg, and here he is, you know, not long after he's out there again. How is this happening, and what does it say about Alex Smith that he is back out there?
I think it just speaks volumes. I'm so excited for him, and, you know, I guess I'm living a little bit vicariously through him because of our, you know, association with the injuries. Of course, you know, we were basically hurt, you know, 33 years apart. The place on the field, the persons that got to us, the similarities are incredible, but that's really where it ends, and a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, I had one operation. Alex had 17. He had four different flesh-eating bacterias that he had to deal with. And came within a 24-hour period of losing his life, as well as possibly his leg, as well as his life. I mean, he's fought through so much, and to see him be able to go out and throw the ball around is just it's heartwarming. I mean, I've said this before. To me, he should be comeback player of the year no matter what. I mean, just he worked so hard to get to where he is, and I'm thrilled for him, and hopefully he'll continue to get better and better and better.
Can he help Dwayne Haskins in the way that he helped Mahomes, Joe?
He actually did last year. And people don't realize that Alex was around the football team a lot last year. Practices, I was with him at a lot of games. And he and Dwayne spent a lot of time together. So he already has done basically the same thing that that he did with Patrick. Now he's in a competition to try and be the starter. And I think it's great. I think it makes everybody better when you're in competition.
Is that a better situation, Joe, if he's starting? What do you think?
That's the crazy thing about it is one of the things that Ron Rivera wants to see is can he protect himself? Unfortunately, the way the year is and the way the football season is set up right now, you don't know whether he can protect himself because there are no regular preseason games.
Right.
So, you know, you just don't know what you're going to see. I think they'll get a feel for him moving around. I don't know when he'll start to take snaps in the 11-on-11 stuff. I think he's just doing 7-on-7 right now. But the fact that he's out there is just incredible. I mean, it looks like, you know, Dwayne is really the guy that's been getting the snaps. And we're on such a short window. I mean, think of it. The season opens 3 weeks from today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're basically September 13th is actually September 10th for I think the Texans and Chiefs. But right now you're 3 weeks away, and who's your starter? You have to give somebody a lot of reps because there are very few to go around. So to what degree can somebody really compete for a job? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a best guess scenario for coaches right now.
Yeah.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
We are talking to Joe Theismann, Super Bowl champion, Memphian, former MVP here on the show. You mentioned it. I mean, the season is bearing down upon us. I mean, we're about to start doing fantasy football drafts not too long from now. And yet the NFL has really not, they have not let up. I mean, they've been pretty consistent about moving forward and plowing ahead with this season. And it certainly makes more sense when you consider the uncertainty with college football. Maybe they just start dominating the week here. What sort of, in your mind, makes the NFL different, though, from Major League Baseball, for example? Because Major League Baseball has had a few sort of hiccups with COVID. Is there more discipline inherently in an NFL locker room? Like, what do you think will sort of make the NFL different than Major League Baseball, Joe?
Well, I think one of the things is that the NFL has had an opportunity to see what's happened in hockey and basketball and baseball. So you can talk to people in their organizations from a protocol standpoint and say, what are you doing now? What do you plan on doing? We don't know. With football, there's no social distancing in football. In baseball and in basketball, I mean, when you look at the guys in the bubble, they're nowhere near one another. Hockey is somewhat of a similar situation. But in football, you've got offensive and defensive linemen on top of each other. You've got people being tackled. That's when I think the real test will come. But so far, it seems like all of the 99% of the professional athletes that are involved in the major sports, as we reference them, have had very few instances of where you've had the COVID virus affect them. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, let's take a football team that has, you got a room of 7 wide receivers. 2 wide receivers come down, and the others 5 aren't a test negative. Well, those 2 go on a 14-day quarantine, and then now you have to go find a couple more receivers. I mean, we don't really know what's mm-hmm. going to happen until we get into the season and see when guys are really around each other much more. It was just this past Tuesday that teams really started full contact. So there's still a lot to be learned going forward, but hopefully some of the lessons that we've learned from the other sports will allow us to continue to press on. College football is a little different because you got twice as many guys out there.
Right. No question about it. Plus a bunch of other factors as well. Should we then, though, expect at rolling points of the season, Joe, for the quality of the play to not be necessarily what we're used to seeing? Because like you said, you used an example of wide receivers, but God forbid, what about an offensive line group?
Yeah, what about a quarterback?
100%.
What happens when your quarterback is on the shelf for 2 weeks?
Oh.
I mean, there's so many scenarios out there that you don't consider. Or you take the guys, 10 New England Patriots opted out?
Yep.
So you've got teams that guys have opted out in. You've got a very limited time frame to be able to get your team ready to play. I mean, you're going to play a full 60-minute football game on September 13th. You've had no conditioning. You have no preseason. You have no idea what kind of shape you're in. To me, I think the first 3 regular season football games will be like preseason for a lot of teams. And if you're a betting person, you stay with the teams that have the veterans that have been in the system. They're the ones that are going to be further ahead than a lot of the new coaches with new systems and young players who really haven't had a chance to do much. I mean, how much work has Joe Burrow gotten in Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
How much work has Tua gotten in Miami? How much work can they get? And so you're on a, you know, your playbook is going to be somewhat limited to start with, unless you go with a veteran. Like, for example, if Miami decided to start with Ryan Fitzpatrick, he basically knows what's going on, so it's a little bit of a different scenario than, say, maybe Tua plays.
What's your confidence level in Cam Newton as a starter in New England, Joe? I see where Belichick's not ruling out a platoon, but do those ever work? It feels like at some point you're going to pick one. What do you think about Cam at 31, but banged up? You talked about not having a preseason. A lot of questions surrounding him. What's your confidence level in Cam?
Well, Cam hasn't had 2 years, more or less, a preseason. He's been hurt the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know, he was one that really could have benefited a lot from a lot of off-season work, just to be able to get himself back and get comfortable. Maybe he winds up going with Stedman just because the guy knows the system better. Josh McDaniel knows him more than he knows Cam. I think Cam has an opportunity. It's all going to depend on the throws. So much is going to be emphasized when it comes to the decisions you make, the throws you make, your accuracy level. All those things are heightened in this particular environment we're in. Every throw, everything you do out there, every snap has so much more importance than it did in previous years.
Yep.
Because it's such a limited time. And I'm rooting for Cam. I hope he gets a chance to get feeling better and does some very positive things. And then, you know, he moves forward with maybe, you know, 4 or 5 year career. I think he's in the perfect place in New England because their defense is really good. And that always helps the quarterback situation. And it's a chance to be able to, you know, see if you are the guy who can be accurate. I don't see him being a guy that's going to run around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People say that, well, you know, Cam's going to bring a certain element to the game. He's smart if he doesn't run around. But I think it's a chance to be able to compete and show that he's healthy and able to go after the job.
Has Dallas made a mistake in its handling of Dak? I just wonder if this is going to end up a Kirk Cousins-like situation where maybe, you know, because you've got the Ezekiel Elliott situation where he holds out, right, ends up getting his. Dak's been all business. Hey, I'll show up. And he's getting, you know, he gets strung along to this point. Do you think they've mishandled it? Do you think at all that maybe in a couple of years he's not there?
You know, it's so hard to say. Obviously, this year is such an aberration in so many ways. They spent a lot of money on Zach. They spent a lot of money on Amari.
Yes, they did.
You know, at 31.5, it's not a small number. You know, different discussions of what Zach wanted $40 million. I mean, the offer I think they made him was close to $35 million a year. He and his people evidently felt that he wanted more. He felt like the opportunity was there to get more. If he goes out and has a heck of a year, it's probably going to cost him close to $40
million. Mm-hmm.
But I think what happened down in Dallas basically was more of a business decision. I think Jerry Jones wants Dak to be his quarterback. But at what economic price, looking at his football team, what is it going to cost him? You also have a new coach down there. So, you know, how will he acclimate himself into the system with Mike? So there are a lot of factors that are unknown. You know, I'm rooting for Dak. You know, I'm rooting for any guy that gets out there and says, all right, look, I'm going to put it on me. We saw Joe Flacco do it, won a Super Bowl. We've seen Kirk Cousins get franchised a couple times and winds up with two big contracts up in Minnesota. I believe that Dak will be a Dallas Cowboy, though. I just don't see if he plays to the level that he expects to play to and the Cowboys want him to play to, he will be a Dallas Cowboy. I don't think you'll see him in another uniform.
Okay.
We're talking to the great Joe Theismann here on Jason and John. Joe, I want to get your thoughts on Dez Bryant. We have not seen him in game action in nearly 3 years, but he does have a tryout with the Ravens today. His testing is done. Does he have anything to offer Lamar and that team? I mean, I guess anything. It's always worth kicking the tires on a guy that's as talented as Dez once was. But do you anticipate him having much to offer them?
It's so hard to say because, and you bring up a great point, it's been 3 years. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, they've got Hollywood Brown up there who can just flat run. You know, he's like Tariq. You know, they're the guys now that are making the big impact in the game today. It always helps to have a really solid receiver. The Ravens' offense, if you look at it last year, it's basically tight end based. Their tight ends catch a lot of balls. Andrews catches a lot of balls in that offense. So where would Dez fit in? You've got a speed guy. You've got a tight end offense, and so, you know, where is the role that he would fit into? Number one, and secondly, if he didn't get what he thought were enough catches, a little bit like Odell, is it going to become a distraction to a football team that I look at the Ravens, and to me, they are the team to beat this year. I think the Baltimore Ravens are the team to beat this year. I believe they added Calais Campbell to the defensive line, and I think he's unbelievable. First, he's a giant, but he still has, I think, a couple good years left. They've been driven and run by their defense for years. Now with Lamar there, they'll probably lead the league in rushing again. But I think, to me, Baltimore presents the biggest problem to anybody when it comes to the football team. It's a veteran football team. If Dez can fit a specific role and be happy in that role, And I hope he shows well enough that somebody says, yeah, we're willing to take a chance. Because you see, right now, guys, every coach is looking at their rosters, and I'll bet you, if you're going to have a 53 or 54 man roster, I guarantee you, 51 of those guys are already set. I mean, you can put some rookies on the practice squad if you want, because now it's 10 man practice squad. So, you know, you can make the 63 work. It's the 53 that is, I think, pretty much in their minds, pretty close to set, because you just have nothing to evaluate guys on.
Mm-hmm. The NFC West, Joe, no other division in football had three teams with winning records. You did there. And then you've got the team that went 5-10-1 and the Cardinals adding a DeAndre Hopkins. How dangerous will he and that offense be in the NFC West? Is there room to move up in a division that's so good?
I think so. I think obviously Kyler was in his first year, and I still think that height is an issue with him a little bit. I mean, I love the fact that he did what he did last year. He moved around a lot, but it's still a limiting factor for him offensively. And DeAndre, I mean, I was shocked that Houston let him go.
Absolutely.
I got to be perfectly honest with you. To me, that was one of the surprise moves of last year, was the fact that he is not going to be in a Houston Texan uniform. But again, if you break down a game, how many targets is he going to get in a game? Let's just use a number: 65 plays a run offensively.
Okay.
How many targets is he going to? Would you say he gets?
He's going
a dozen.
He's going to want 12 to 20. Good question, because you've still got other receivers
there. Is Bill going to give him that much? I mean, if you give him 15 targets. Yeah, you know, you're basically talking 25% of your offensive plays are in the air. You're not running the football. So let's say 12 targets.
Okay.
And he catches 7 balls a game. If he catches 7 balls a game, what is he? He's at 100 and change, 150, whatever the number is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that happening there. I think he can be a key player in key moments. And that's what you look for the stars to be. Is be the ones that make the plays in key moments. But you just can't target the guy 10, 12 times a game. I mean, so you're going to get limited opportunities to be able to be that impact player. But when your opportunity does show up, you have to deliver.
We're talking to Joe Theismann, Super Bowl champion, former MVP at Memphis here on the show. A couple more things, Joe, before we let you go. Lane Kiffin, who coaches just down the road from here at Ole Miss, said earlier this week that players who play in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, those players whose conferences have canceled football games this season, should should be allowed to go find a school that is playing this fall and not suffer any sort of sit-out penalty. Do you agree with that? Do you think that should be allowed for players whose conferences have, you know, postponed, canceled football, whatever you want to say?
I can't see why not, because this could be their last shot to show what they can do as you move forward to a draft in 2021. Or their, you know, guys are just going to have to go on what they did in their junior year. I don't see if a conference has canceled its play for whatever reasons, for the concern, the safety of kids, which I totally understand completely. But if someone else wants a chance to be able, in his senior year, go someplace else and get a chance to play football, I think it would be the right thing to allow him to do it. I mean, if the conference has decided they don't want to do it, it's not the kid's choice. You see the petitions that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fields out of Ohio State, I mean, he's put together this giant petition where guys want to play. Unfortunately, when you talk about like the Big Ten, for example, you're governed by different state rules. You know, you're in Michigan, you're in Indiana, you're in Ohio, you're in Pennsylvania, you're in a lot of different places. So what do they allow from a safety standpoint, from a COVID standpoint, as far as the states go? So it's a very complex issue. But I tend to agree with Lane on that. I think that give guys a chance to be able to go, and if a conference is going to play, the ACC, the SEC, not that they're going to be able to add many guys. We're not talking about this mass exodus from the conferences. But there will be some players that probably could help them. Because most of these coaches have already been in a system. Most of these players have already worked there. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, give him a chance to play.
And then last thing, Joe, we were talking earlier today about Paxton Lynch, who I know you're familiar with because, you know, you were around the Memphis program when he was the quarterback there. It seems like he's going to have a chance perhaps to compete for the third string quarterback position in Pittsburgh, but it has not clicked for him the way that a lot of people thought it would, right, after he was at the University of Memphis. What does that say just about the quarterback position? Because Paxton had all the physical tools. I mean, we know that. What does that say about the difficulty of that position and making it at the highest level?
I can tell you, I'll share three things with you that Tom Brady shared with me, and I think this fits into Paxton's situation. I asked Tom one day what made him so great, and he said, the right place, the right time, with the right people. Right place, right time, right people. Paxton has not had that combination that allowed him the opportunity to be able to show what he's capable of doing. And now he's an assistant. In Pittsburgh, you know, Ben's a big quarterback. He's a tall guy. So it sort of fits into his size. Tall guys have not had great success in professional football. And he was a young guy learning the system, learning games, and never really, I think, was surrounded by players. And you've heard me say this umpteen times. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. And Paxton never, you know, he was always in sort of a transitionary situation on a team. They were always sort of looking for the next one. And there were times when he just didn't step up and play well enough to be able to be the guy. So it's a combination of things, not just one. And I hope he puts a good effort out. I know he will effort-wise, but I hope he has a good showing. And people can look at him and say, you know what? You know, we want this guy. We want to give him a chance to stay on our roster for a while.
Absolutely. Joe, man, you're the best in the business. We appreciate
Thank
the
you,
time,
Joe.
As always.
Always great catching up with you guys. Take care of yourself. See you at home soon.
Yes, sounds sir. Good, sounds like a plan. He is Joe Theismann, former MVP, Super Bowl champion. He's a Memphian. Always do appreciate his time. And I think he's right. I mean, I definitely do think he's right place, right time, right coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Those are all important things, but we also heard a lot about Paxton's preparation and how that was lacking. So I think it's all those things. It's all those things. And the NFL is tough. The NFL is a tough place to hack it.
They don't have time to wait on you.
They don't, and they won't. You know, and they won't.
Especially if you're not showing enough investment yourself, if that's part of the equation.
Everybody knows that Trevor Siemian was not a more physically gifted quarterback than Paxton Lynch. Mm-hmm. But he probably just took it more seriously, you know, and that's why he got the job. That's why he won the job.
Elway won it. I mean, you'd spend a first round pick on him.
Absolutely.
You got to believe you were afforded every chance, and Elway doesn't want to be a wrong again on another quarterback to that point. And so, you know, he's pushing you out there. You got to go take it. And some are ready for it, to your point. Some can be ready, and it ends up not working out for a number of factors. It is difficult, and. No, I'm with you. I don't think you can get too hard a time for that one, John, for the 4 years ago tweet that he was going to make it, because I think with the physical tools, we didn't know what was in his head, and we couldn't measure that. And so that's the part of it. But again, a number of factors. Hopefully he can bounce back. Maybe he gets that Pittsburgh third-string job.
Absolutely.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show tomorrow morning at 11 on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.